Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors, who will give you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan with you here, along with Michael Normanton and Rob Conlon, as we do propaganda in the wake of the Arsenal game. We'll have a find out what's been said about Leeds United on the internet. TSB Plus members, look out for Propaganda Extra as well in your podcast feed and video on the website. Extra bits of propaganda on top of this. Quick word as well, we've been nominated, shortlisted for Fan Media of the Year Award in the FSA Awards. That's the Football Supporters Association Awards for 2022. It's a public vote, Michael. We love a public vote.
We do, because we can ask you all to really go overboard on it. Every device, every bit of Wi-Fi you can get your hands on, get a vote in. We can see, well, if you're watching the video, you can see some that we've won in the past behind Dan here. We have won three in the past, one for the fanzine, one for the podcast, and now this is Fan Media, because people like Rob have been doing stuff on the blog and we've got a YouTube channel and stuff. So we're in for that now. So we're up against, I think, Anfield Rap, probably our main competition in that.
Yeah, they've got 500,000 followers. So if it does go on followers alone, that's five times many of them, more than we've got. So we need everybody. Every vote counts.
It does. It does.
And just get practicing for the general election. Is what we're saying.
You need practice voting?
It's
quite easy.
How do I choose out of the candidates? Voting closes at midnight on Halloween, I think it is. So please do it quickly. It's in the next 12, 13 days. The awards are on the Monday after the Spurs game. So you want to vote in Category 4. What we've done is, to make this dead easy for you as well, we've set up a redirect on our website, thesquareball.net/vote, and it'll take you through to the voting page.
You don't have to vote in all the categories, by the way. If you look at it and go, oh, God, there's too much here.
Yeah, just scroll to Category 4, the Square Ball, Fan Media of the Year. But you can if you want as well, because the FSA are a great bunch of lads.
That is true.
And lasses. So thesquareball.net/vote, Category 4 for us, if you don't mind. Right, so then... let's unpack what happened with the Arsenal game. General vibes on this one. Billy B ready to torch the whole thing after Palace. This was kind of more frustration. We're getting that sense in the wake of Arsenal.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. And it was the vibe through a lot of the feedback, which we've not included. But you know, it was a lot of people saying the same thing, like, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was good. There was no denying it. It was a much, much improved performance.
Yeah, I've written for the blog about just the general confusion that I feel over it. But I don't know how to unpack it, because it was good and it was definitely better, but then we lost. And it was a very confusing week in Leeds. It's part of my blog and part of Moscow's match report as well, is how there was a fire on Saturday night in Leeds City Centre.
It was the Leonardo building, wasn't it? Yeah, and which then, is close to Millennium Square, if you're familiar with Leeds.
So there were images of Leeds City Centre on fire. Then there's a power cut in Beeston on Sunday. And then during that power cut, I saw images of goalposts being sawn shorter in Birmingham against Hull, and it was all just very, very confusing. I was slightly hungover and tired, and I just didn't know what to make of it in the end.
Yeah, the goalpost thing was weird, wasn't it? How on earth do you get something like that?
Yeah, I don't know how they've made goalposts too tall, but you know what?
Doping, it's like racehorses, doping racehorses, doping the goalposts.
Can they make them big enough for Pat Bamford? That's the question.
But it was very much a symbol of football in 2022, that the game was held up. Because they had to basically, the delay was having to recalibrate everything, wasn't it? To restart, to reboot the whole whatever server farm that they've got sat in the compound outside that speaks to Stockley Park. And you saw the referees holding the balls and going, in, not in, in, not in, outside the post, inside the post.
I'll tell you what I did enjoy during the electrical faults. At one point,
I was holding a fictional ball there for the benefit of the audio listener.
The main scoreboard was showing what was meant to be on the advertising boards on the East Stand. And then the East Stand was showing the scoreboard. But it was good because it meant you got a big scoreboard on the East Stand, which was a lot closer. And I thought, that's
so
useful.
They're running it all off one machine.
It's useful, that. But yeah, it was. There was just a row of tiny little advertising boards being displayed on the scoreboard at
that's
one point.
That's what it was, wasn't it? Yeah, because they were all like tessellated almost, like tiled. Yeah, that was wild. And I couldn't think what that was because I'm on that side, so I didn't see the East Stand boards. But, oh, that's fun, is that? Yeah. I don't know. Have you seen Old Trafford? They don't have proper scoreboards and stuff, do they? So they put the VAR. They don't have video boards. They've got scoreboards, but not video boards. So they put the VAR stuff on the advertising boards around the pitch. Peasants. yeah, and with mention to VAR, then we've heard from House of Stouts.
Of Stouts.
I don't think anything Barr gets involved with that game is a clear and obvious error. I think Gabriel's kick was still reckless and dangerous, and the referee believed that because he still got a yellow. And Pat's goal isn't a foul. If we applied that standard for a foul across the pitch, we'd have 65 free kicks a game. I was really annoyed that Saliba got away without a second yellow after dragging Pat back when he was one-on-one with Ramsdale. But I was even more annoyed at Gabriel, who spent two straight minutes after being sent off arguing with the referee. And I think he intimidates him into getting a yellow instead of a red. He changes his mind, basically. But using that intimidation, I think surrounding the referee like that for that amount of time should be a yellow card in itself. But he can't give him a yellow card if he's just gotten a red, right? So he kind of gets away with one yellow instead of two yellows or one red.
Inconsistency, that's the word, isn't it?
I think the disallowed goal, which we'll come on to in a bit more detail, but I think he was saying that VAR shouldn't have got involved with it. I think the problem with that was that they favour the on-field decision, don't they? So Bamford's goal is given on the field. The ref probably looks at it again and or VAR look at it and say, no, stick with your decision. There's not enough evidence to show you need to change it. But then because he does disallow it, they then say, oh, there's not enough evidence to change it. So it is a goal
and it's not a goal all at the same time.
Yeah, so it falls into a middle ground of if the ref had given it, it would have probably stayed a goal, but because he didn't give it, it stays not a goal, even though the truth is probably somewhere else, which is why VAR shit and should get rid of it.
Tom Dixon, and this has been included for the typo as much as anything, says Dorito was right in the analysis of the second penalty call. Are we going for the spicy ones or are you going for the cheesy ones?
Always spicy.
Or the blue ones that don't really have a recognised flavour. I think he means Dorigo. VAR should have shown the build-up where Gabriel deliberately blocks Bamford's run. We'd done it earlier too. Yeah, probably.
I mean,
just be better.
It comes down to the things you're allowed to do in different bits of the pitch, doesn't it? Because as House of Stouts was saying, if you give a free kick for that sort of a challenge, you're just looking at a free kick every 30 seconds, which I think we did actually was trialed during the Villa game, I think was one of the things there. But yeah, it is one of those things that you can get away with and most of the time. And in the same way as that blocking off of a run, if the ball's going back to a goalkeeper, you're allowed to do that. But if you do it elsewhere on the pitch, you're not allowed to do it. It's weird. There are strange little quirks within football. But it's like the amount of shirt pulling that is allowed on a corner is a much higher than the amount of shirt pulling that is allowed generally speaking, but it's one of those things you just go, oh, well, that's just because the way it is.
And it all goes back down to subjectivity, doesn't it? On the disallowed goal, actually, let's just come on to that. Then Bay Area Brandon talking about Moscow's saying that Bamford's disallowed goal, the call on that was soft. Mm. You thought it was right.
I don't anymore. I've not seen it. Moscow had the benefit of his little telly. I think.
Let's employ the little telly bell.
Even in his absence.
£6 well spent there.
Still discuss the little telly. But yeah, I mean, there's hardly a touch there at all. And Gabriel, I think the reason I thought it was a foul is because Gabriel jumps so dramatically. But if he doesn't, if he stands vaguely still or is in a manner that is reflective of the amount of contact there was, then it's not given.
Tweeted out about that after the game, having seen the video. And the reaction was about 50-50 split, which goes to show how difficult it is to call these, doesn't it? Let's hear from AFTV, Arsenal Fan TV, their take on it.
That's a goal.
What a goal.
Oh my God, Bamford.
Oh, he's saying it's ruled out.
Oh, it's ruled out, is it, with his hand?
Well, they're going to look at it. He's saying it was chest.
I thought it was a goal.
I think we should have cleared it, though. Poor defending.
I'm hoping it's
poor defending. I don't think it will be ruled out.
That was really poor, this, right? Because he's let... Look at this.
How long has he got to cross? Look, the ball's floating and you allow Bamford to lean into your back and move you and then you're ready to complain.
What was wrong with that then?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Look. Gabriel's in the position there. How's he getting moved that easy?
That's a goal, man. Yeah, and that's poor again from Gabriel.
That shouldn't be getting ruled out for me.
Look at that. That is too easy. I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He's ruled it out. Oh my God. What?
We have got away with
that. I'm obviously happy, but I'm surprised.
That is bad.
Arsenal
Fan TV on first viewing said that should have been a goal. So that for me is objective evidence that it was a goal.
Is that what we're replacing VAR with now?
Arsenal fan TV have a live feed from Stockley Park and they decide everything from now on.
It does make you wonder if there's a better way of doing VAR where you just have a panel of a load of fans who watch it and go, ah, that's a goal.
Yeah.
You just argue it out for about 5 minutes until everyone in the stadium waits.
100 people all with a button, goal or no goal.
Oh, like a millionaire?
Yeah.
It's the way we've been saying with offside, though, isn't it? Where you just go, ah, he's offside. Come on, let's just crack on. Like, there's no need to wait. I was in the ground watching Bamford's goal. I didn't really know what had happened. And then I text a mate who's an Arsenal fan, asking what he thought, whether it was right or wrong. And he says, he thought it was the right decision, but he says, yeah, I am biased. It was quite soft. And then, so I was kind of like, all right, maybe okay. Maybe it should have been disallowed. But then seeing the replay, that's a goal. It's just piss weak defending, isn't it?
Like, it is. He doesn't attack the ball, does he? In a way, he allows Bamford to. Bamford is the one who's actually trying to win the ball, and therefore it looks like he's fouled him. But it's meant to be a physical contact game. So there's a bit of when you go for a header with someone, there's a bit of physicality in it. Absolutely always.
And it goes back to the old thing about the game's not what it used to be. Game's dying off. Contact sport and so on and so forth, doesn't it? Let's talk quickly about Jesse, because Rachel says, is it time to give Jesse a break over this game? Like, he can't make the players make better decisions and missing a penalty and what Rachel describes as poor officiating, and Rachel saying that the game plan was fundamentally sound. I think so too. The question comes next, doesn't it? Like, can we do it against the so-called lesser sides who set up differently? I think we've sort of passed the test of being able to play in a more open game, haven't we, on the evidence of Chelsea and Arsenal?
I think that ties in with the frustration and weird feeling on Sunday of not knowing who to blame afterwards, because it was so self-inflicted, really. Like, I was walking back up towards Holbeck after the game and walked past some fans I overheard talking about an FA conspiracy.
And they're still going on.
Yeah, they were saying, well, you know, like, they didn't want Leicester to win the league back in 2016 or whatever it was. And, you know, maybe that's the only way you can explain Rodrigo's pass or Bamford's finishing or Somerville missing that chance. Yeah, it's as good as an explanation as any.
I mean, the big six do seem to get a favourable rub of the green on VAR stuff, don't they? Yeah. And like, you saw the Chelsea, I can't remember the player who made the challenge this weekend, but that challenge on the Villa player, that was an obvious...
Chilwell.
That was it, yeah. It was an obvious red card. And you can see Cucurella running into shot with his head in his hands being like, oh fuck, he's getting sent off here.
What's he done that for?
I've just witnessed someone doing a red card tackle, and he gets away with it. And you think, well, that's always it's the mad, other way. That's well, definitely
you,
given.
I was going to say, look at Jurgen Klopp getting sent to the stand as well, which, you know, ref sending another ref off, etc. But going back to the Harvey Elliott chance, when Klopp put himself on the pitch and effectively talked the referee into doing something about it, and Strout was sent off, as we know, not on the basis of the tackle, but on the outcome. Yes, which is fucking wild.
Yeah, because that look at the Chilwell tackle, look at the Strout tackle. Which of those is a red card? And like, one, the Strout thing, it probably happens every single match. Does that tackle? It's just normally fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're talking about something that happened a year or more ago. We should probably let it go. But
like I was said before, like on the Phil Hayes show, I'm still upset about Gordon Watson in 1991, whenever it was, 92. So there'll be no letting it go, Michael, ever.
Fair enough. I mean, Rachel does raise the other point of saying she can't as easily overlook the stonewashed abomination that was his jeans.
Yeah, I said they're not piss friendly, are they? They're not drip friendly. And is a man approaching 50?
As are you, Danny.
I'm not approaching 50, you cheeky fuck. No, we haven't got the blubbering hose pipe going on yet.
Jesus Christ. You're approaching 50.
I'm not approaching 50.
It's your next milestone.
So fucking what? That's like saying my 11-year-old son is approaching 20, because his next milestone is that.
How old do you think Dan is?
I hate you. I'm 44, by the way. Let's not do it. Nathan, talking about Marsh as well. Is he hinting about needing more up front? Because a couple of weeks in a row, he said we need to score more goals. But this is a problem going back to Bielsa, isn't it? People are not converting enough chances. So is there a coach out there, apart from probably with the exception of Bielsa, and even then I probably don't necessarily believe that he didn't want more up front, who doesn't want more players, better players?
I mean, he did love both Pat and Tyler. So
that's true. Let's talk about Rodrigo then. Philly Zach has got in touch.
Lads, currently the 27th minute. Rodrigo just looks infinitely more dangerous as a striker. Don't know how they're going to make it work in the future, slotting everybody in, but this is where he needs to be if he's going to be on the pitch. Hopefully this becomes a time capsule and is part of a glorious win.
God bless your naivety, Zach. Is there a part two, Michael?
There's a part two.
There's a part two.
Well, I went from he looks brilliant at striker to get him off at halftime pretty quick. absolutely brain dead cross.
And it was stupid, wasn't it?
I think that's where Rodrigo puts us. You kind of see him do something, you're like, oh, maybe it's going to work this time. It's not going to work this time.
Yeah, it's funny reading some of the online reaction afterwards. These people saying, well, it's people just mainly saying, what the fuck? But there's also people saying, see, you know, he's not a number nine. And people saying, oh, look, he should be a number 10. And nobody knows what he is, do they? Mm. And I don't know.
And no one knows what that was.
No.
The little Yank Badger got man of the match. I'm just noticing from the scores out of 10, which we'll do more completely over on Heroes and Villains. We'll shift it over there.
Yeah, we're having a bit of a reshuffle this week. Yeah, you may have noticed.
So 7.57 for Aronson. Rodrigo, other end of the scale, at 3.63. Which feels a bit unfair. He made a mistake, but was he wasn't that, was he that bad?
He was bad after that.
Mm. Yeah, he mentally collapsed, didn't he?
But that's the way he seems to be. He just seems to have games where stuff goes wrong for him. And then
a cheap gazebo in the wind, he just folded, didn't he?
Just continually does stuff wrong. I mean, Joe got in touch to say, I do think Melier should do better for their goal. But having said that, what the fucking is fucking Rodrigo fucking doing?
Not a knack of the algorithm on it. Yeah, no. That's what I felt. My attention, did you do the same? Immediately turned to him when that goal went in and you just saw him, he put his head down. He felt like he almost had to perform putting his head down. He went,
oh, it's because he's done.
I know what I've done.
It's because he's done something so weird. Like you see people make normal errors quite often. Like someone will dwell on the ball, or they'll try and just they'll leave a back pass short or something. And goals that are definitely that player's fault. But you can sort of see how it's happened because they've tried to do is something obvious.
You've tried to be clever,
and it's gone wrong. But in this case, why?
It was a Hollywood ball. He was trying to be dead clever.
Like, Rocker stood.
Yeah.
Like 10 yards in him, away from him. And if he passes to Rocker can then see the whole pitch and play a forward pass.
It goes back to what you were always taught as a kid playing football, which is play the way you're facing, you know? And also, one of the other 101 rules is don't twat the ball across the face of your own goal. Obviously, it's less risky when you're over towards the halfway line. But when the play is as spread as it was like that.
Maybe he was going for, if in doubt, kick it out, but he didn't quite kick it far enough.
Yeah.
Trying to put it out for throwing on the far side.
He can't use his right foot to put it near side.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll remain, I think, probably one of those mysteries. why he did that. If you asked him now, I'm sure he'd be like, yeah, I don't know. Because there wasn't even a ball out there, was there? The ball would have been to Strouk, who had someone near him. So it would have been a stupid ball anyway. It's not like there was Sinisterra who was about to be thrown goal if it hits it properly. Like the ball isn't even on.
Hey, just returning to Pat, by the way, you remember Moscow said, because he's not here to defend himself, we can go in on him now. Moscow said on the match ball that Bamford didn't have any other good chances. So have you been doing research on this to disprove it?
Yeah, I mean, if Moscow was here, he'd say so. But yeah, he did have our three best chances of the entire game.
Because you've done the XG and that's a big circle, which suggests a big chance. Is that a penalty?
That's the penalty. But then he also had the two other.
All right, so that's the whole pattern of all of them.
That's all of our XG chances, yeah. And he had.
We'll send that to Lee, our video person, and we'll get that put onto
He had the three best, three of which all counted as big chances. And that led on to he has had eight big chances this season. And I don't know if you know how many goals he scored.
He scored none. Yeah.
He scored none, which puts him.
It's a 0% conversion rate, isn't it?
Puts him top of the big chances missed.
But he's beating off Erling Haaland, which is an interesting image for you, in second place, who has missed seven big chances, but
has scored 15 goals.
Has done a little bit more in the other direction, yeah.
Yeah, I think his conversion rate isn't particularly up for debate here. It's 26% of his shots go in, basically.
Yeah. Joe's had some thoughts then on Patrick Bamford.
Oh, boys, what a fucking frustrating day. I mean, it was a return of championship Bamford. I mean, I know that the disallowed goal is soft, to say the least, but, you know, getting it stuck under his feet constantly, looking like fucking Bambi on ice, going down pathetically when Gabriel fucking sticks a leg in the air near him, fucking missing the penalty. Just championship Bamford, and there's no evidence to suggest that we'll get the proper first season in the Premier League Bamford back. And that's what makes it so fucking frustrating that they didn't sign a striker. And Rodrigo, fuck me, he's not a striker. Fucking idiot.
there is evidence to say that we can get him back because he's done it before. Just the same as there's evidence that he could be Championship Bamford as well. Mm. I think it's been a bit unfair to him, but I get it's said in frustration in the wake of the game.
He's such a strange player. But yeah, I think the evidence which Marsh has been talking about is the fact that he's getting these chances even though he's missing them. We were chatting earlier before the show, but in the season when he did score lots of goals in the Premier League. He also tops the table for big chances missed. It is kind of what he does.
Well, as I said there, Haaland is the evidence as well that you do miss chances if you get chances.
And that's the thing, when he tops that table of big chances missed, when he scored 17 goals or whatever it was, the players directly behind him were Mo Salah and Jamie Vardy, who also score lots of goals. And I think Marsh has been chatting a lot recently about the fact he's getting these chances, even if he is missing them. He hopes that it will come good. And also we saw in the second half that, as frustrating as Bamford is, and you know there are times when I want to strangle him, but our team for however long has been completely geared around him, and the movement he has and the pressing he does, it makes us such a better team, as we saw in the second half. And Phil Hayes written for The Athletic today, and there's two interesting graphs comparing the passes that Leeds play when Rodrigo's on the pitch and when Bamford's on the pitch. And when Rodrigo's on the pitch, it's all coming short, and weirdly it looks more like a number 10 playing the number 9 role, which is the problem, isn't it? I guess nobody knows what he is. And then when you see when Bamford's on the pitch, it's all these direct through passes in behind the defence. It's all the Red Bull handbook, which is what we're trying to play. And as we saw, it works to a point, but he needs to put the ball in the net.
Yeah. I mean, I got a bit frustrated on the match ball and was like a big baby saying, I just want us to sign a striker. I want everything better now and yesterday. That, I think, has been a failing, is that it's not that I want them to bomb Bamford out. I just want them to put somebody else in alongside him that they can compete for that position.
Mm.
So we're not having to just rely on his goals, because Rodrigo's had his streak at the start. Is he ever going to keep that up? We don't know.
And from Bamford's, it's not a new thing.
It's a guy who's been out for a year, by the way.
Yeah, he's not played in ages. And I look back through his seasons with us and his kind of performance against XG. And the season when we went up in the Championship, he scored 16, but should have had 24, according to that. And if you remember, people wanted, we were there sometimes saying this, when he went on runs without scoring and looked like he would never score again. We're like, just play Tyler Roberts, just play Eddie Nketiah. There were times when people definitely...
Ryan Edmondson.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, there were times when people just wanted someone else in the team. And I think when you see him finishing as he is, it's hard not to want someone who might actually score.
Yeah.
In there, just because his confidence doesn't look right. And he does weird things, I think, when he's like this, does Bamford. He sort of gets overly fired up with stuff. And the way him going down to the Gabriel challenge, I still think Gabriel should have been sent off because he definitely did kick out. But I also think it didn't hurt Bamford. And it was almost the same reaction from Bamford as he got straight back up,
didn't he?
As happened in that Villa game, where he sort of went a bit mad and started just trying to get something, trying to almost like force something to go right.
Well, is he possessed by a bad wizard? That's the immediate obvious thought.
It's unlikely.
Well.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think.
find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A very stressed man got in touch to ask, are we actually cursed? Yes, as I mentioned on the Match Ball. Saying that Bamford, this is a reference for you, Michael. I know you like your fantasy tits and dragons and orcs and shit.
Orcs and shit in brackets. Yeah, there, yeah.
Bamford looks like King Theoden from Lord of the Rings, in brackets, orcs and shit, when he's possessed by the bad wizard. And I know what that reference is about.
Well, if you do, congratulations. I have no idea. Do you know what it's about?
No.
No. Yeah. Orcs and shit.
Orcs and shit.
The orcs and shit.
Yeah, the old bad wizard. Yeah. Adsham does like Moscow's consistent love and support for strikers that can't score.
Bamford is this year's Tyler Roberts.
God bless him. Well, he just needs one to kickstart him, doesn't he? And he like does. You say, I think it's that thing you can see with Bamford. And when you say he goes mad, he's just not quite in his groove.
Yeah, and we are undoubtedly better with him. Because he kind of was in his groove in terms of the problems he was causing him.
Yeah. But he needs that goal, doesn't he?
They really struggle to deal with
it. It's like he's got a monkey on his back and he just can't shake it off.
That goal that was disallowed would have been the perfect Pat Bamford. Mm. Has finally got a goal.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing he needs, because did the ball get stuck under his feet first, a bit of miscontrol, and it sort of came back to him and he scored the header. That's the kind of thing that he always seems to need.
It wasn't a header.
I can't remember.
He swept it in off the ground, didn't he, with his foot. I think he went for the challenge. It's interesting, from the Arsenal fan TV clip actually, when it was disallowed, Bamford ran straight over to the ref and was saying it was my chest, because he thought it had been disallowed for handball.
Right.
Little did he even guess.
Well, it's the FA conspiracy, isn't it? Ghost Shark, who was on, was it last week?
It's been the last couple of weeks, I think.
Terribly threatening voice, Ghost Shark. We wondered where the nickname came from. Was it after some sort of maybe Hollywood B movie or something like that, like Sharknado type stuff? We've had an explanation.
Oh, lads. Oh, should I say, great bunch of lads. Moscow, you're fucking wrong. My nickname don't come from a shit fucking film. It comes from a fantastic song. Equally fantastic combo called Rocky from the Crypt from San Francisco. Check them out. Don't be a c-
if that voice is put on and not real, fair play.
It's the fact it's so close to the mic as well. Yeah. It makes it sound extra. It makes it sound like someone's whispering in my ear, threatening.
I was going to say, because I kind of craned in then, because I felt like somebody was whispering in my ear. Like, I just needed to get closer.
Anyway, yeah, he's very sweary, his Ghost Shark.
Oh, good.
So he's done a little summary of the game, which has got a lot of. He really uses the bleep function.
Is he vying for a job with Sky Sports? Let's find out.
Fuck me, we should have won that. We were so much fucking better than those. Second half, we fucking battered them. Kavanaugh and VAR, both massive. Rodrigo, fuck off. You're a. What he cost? 27 million. People talk about different fucking figures and shit, but he ain't worth 27 fucking quid. Time wasting again. Every fucking time, a fake injury. I'll take a gabs and round. That didn't even stay in the fucking technical area all fucking game. He's a and also, finally, electricity is a massive.
Do you do kids' birthday parties, Ghost Shark? You don't get that on the BBC Radio Leeds phone in, do you?
You don't.
You absolutely do not.
Electricity being blamed at the end.
Absolutely. Let's get on to some stuff from AFTV then, Arsenal Fan TV. Lee the Baldy Millwall ones, similar sort of vibe to Ghost Shark.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, this is him talking about the power cut actually, but I just think he was right, so I've included this.
Do you know what? I'm going to say one thing about that, like, you know, the paying fan, as we all are today, like, none of us had a clue what was going on. They didn't even tell us what was going on. We've had to find out from phoning home and things like, you know what I mean? Felt like E.T., like, phoning home, you know what I mean? Ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, no one telling us what's going on, like, do you know what I mean? Paying customer, you know?
We got trapped in there, didn't have no information. I was quite surprised they didn't, let anyone know. We were just there. Waiting around.
Well, exactly. And the only reason we knew it was going to be a 22 kickoff was because people were telling us on phones.
I mean,
he's right, though. It wouldn't have harmed to, because apparently people on TV knew what was going on and people in the ground didn't.
Right.
And that is shit. I feel like it's become, with VAR stuff as well, that's all much better when you're watching on telly. That all makes more sense because the commentators communicate stuff to you. It feels like it's swung away from people who are actually at the ground being vaguely important.
Let me just put this to you then. If they'd come on the PA and said, bing bong, just to let you know that electricity is back on, everything's fine, but we now need to reset VAR, Hawkeye, and check that everything's working. Thanks for your patience. it would have annoyed people more, which you could see it already did as well when, you know, when they were testing them, people were singing like fuck VAR and
but
stuff.
But it seems like people at home have been told it was going to kick off again at 22 and it was like an actual scheduled thing. Yeah. Whereas in the ground, you didn't know that. So as soon as people will have been in the cop bar having a pint, and they'll have seen players running back out on the pitch and be like, oh shit. And then it was another 15 minutes after that.
They got on the PA and said, oh, the game will resume in 10 minutes. They said that.
Yeah, but only like 10 with 10 minutes to go.
Have you ever had a fucking delay in an airport? And thought, oh, I wish I knew what was going on, but I'm not going to get upset about it. Grow up, Michael.
I did enjoy...
I think they could have done better.
I did enjoy 20 minutes into delay when they came over the tunnel. I went, there's a delay. Like, yeah, and everyone's just like, fuck off.
No way.
It actually did genuinely rile everyone though, because they made the announcement that there's been a power failure, game is now suspended. Everyone went boo, and then it went bing bong, and then a different lady's voice came on and said, we are trying to fix this problem as soon as possible. Thank you for your patience. That just riled everybody. You've made the announcement, just let everybody be quietly annoyed. But anyway, Lee actually got onto talking about the game then as well, did he?
I'll tell you what, we've got away with one. Unbelievably got away with one. That's the worst we've played for a very, very long while. Credit the Leeds, I thought they were brilliant. They hassled us. They closed us down and we couldn't handle it. And we got lucky today. There's no two ways about it. Very, very fortunate.
Do you not give any credit to Arsenal and how they held off Leeds for so long? I know you're saying they were poor today, but Arsenal did well, surely, to hold them off.
Well, look, listen. Thanks to Aaron Ramsdale. Yeah. That's the only reason we've won this game today. It was absolutely superb. Mm. Made three or four good saves. They had a penalty. They've missed it. That's fortunate. Silly shenanigans at the end. I don't know what all that's about, like, you know. We never held the ball up once from up front there. Jesus, that's the worst game he's had for Arsenal.
There you go. It's hard to disagree, isn't it, really? Although, you've just like won your top of the league and yet still you managed to kind of take a negative point of view on it. Like, we got away with one there. But you are going to get away with some of them if you... They've won nearly every game they've played.
They were very pleased to have won.
Yeah.
It's worth saying.
Oh, fair enough.
But yeah.
Thoughts from Julian then, also on Arsenal Fan TV, about our precious, beautiful home.
But as we were coming in, Lee described Elland Road as a proper football stadium. Now, if his definition of a proper football stadium is an antiquated, derelict, nasty little place that the gangways, you can't even get through. It's an accident waiting to happen. The toilets, it's just disgrace. It's the same sort of thing. This idea, you know, Robbie's talking about 2022 and there's no internet access. I'm not really bothered about internet access when I'm going to football. I actually want to watch the game, so I don't care about that. What I do care about is the fact that I can watch the game in a comfortable, safe environment. Now, Elland Road, it's just not... I mean, maybe the other stand was great, but where we were, terrible. I mean, I had a view of a post in front of me. So if you're going to ask me about details of the game, no, I can't really... I didn't see any replays. I saw something between a post and, you know, some 6'4" giant in front of me. So I'm kind of going from side to side, yeah, trying to actually see the game. It's not a great stadium. So other than that...
It is.
You know, Leeds, the team played brilliantly. Yep. The enthusiasm of that team was fabulous. Yep. But the fact that we were able to come here and play a team that won't play better than that all season, that was Leeds Cup final. Leeds were fantastic, but we were better because we won the game.
Not our cup final.
No.
No.
No, but...
We all turn up to watch Leeds. It's been full every game, hasn't it? It's the same for every game. Yeah. Obviously, there's more demand for Arsenal because it's a better fixture, but that wasn't our cup final. Let's state very clearly. Is Elland Road a shithole? Is it a death trap like he's making out?
Yes.
Great though, isn't it?
Yeah. I like it.
I mean, that bit of the West Stand is, because we do occasionally get, when we play bigger teams in particular, we'll get Arsenal fans maybe listening to this. That bit of the West Stand, it was always the last bit. We used to be home fans in there, and it was always the last bit to sell, wasn't it? Because it's the way Elland Road was constructed, the South Stand, which is the end near the... where the away fans are, that was initially a really tiny little stand.
Yeah, the scratching shed, as anybody who's a Leeds fan will know.
So the West Stand was built with the tiny little stand there, then they built a bigger stand, so the seats on the end of the West Stand don't actually face the pitch anymore.
They moved everything 20 or 30 yards towards the cop end, didn't they?
Yeah.
So that sticky out bit, yeah. It's from the 1950s, and...
It's from the 1950s.
It doesn't face the pitch, which is... And it's the shittest part of the ground, which is why the away fans are in it.
Yeah.
Just be grateful we let you in at all.
I think the other bit of the West Stand is nicer. Well, I've been in
shite though,
the rest of the West Stand. It's still pretty old.
Well, rest assured, Arsenal fans, we know, because your old mate Angus Kinnear told us, they're planning now. It's coming down, isn't it? They'll be able to come and look at a new one when they get shunted to the next shittest part of the ground for next couple of years' visits.
Probably, yeah. Probably go back in the cheese wedge, won't they, something? Mm. Although they like having the old gulag for the away fans, coaches and stuff, don't they, behind the West Stand.
I do wonder if they rebuild it, do they perhaps put the away fans in that corner, like a purpose-built 3,000 section there that sort of butts onto the South Stand or whatever? Well, I guess we'll see when they get on with the plans, won't we? But you're supposed to have... some of your away fans have got to be next to the pitch level as well. It's one of the Premier League rules. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, right.
But they've excused Newcastle from doing that and stick you all the way up in the gods because Newcastle claim they can't safely accommodate away fans further down, sorry.
I mean, going up those stairs doesn't feel safe. It's such a long way. It was very, very sweaty up there last season.
AFTV, they were talking to Beckford, were they then? Our own Beckford?
Our own Beckford, yeah. It was outside the ground. It didn't seem that they actually were interviewing him.
Just talking to him or at him?
They were just sort of chatting in a circle around him. I don't think he wasn't looking at the camera, so I'm not sure he knew he was being filmed. But I think that makes it quite nice.
Is this like when Princess Diana had those sneaky photos taken of her working out in the gym? Is this what it's like?
Beckford was...
A nice contemporary reference there for the Gen Z kids who are watching.
I think Beckford has a coat on.
Hey, YouTubers, don't forget to like and subscribe. It's a
creep shot, I think, what it'd be described as these days.
When Patrick Bamford's fit and he shakes off the rust, look how many chances he created. Yeah, he played 45 minutes, created what?
Incredible.
Look, any other day, when Patrick Bamford's fit and he shakes off the rust, look how many chances he created. Yeah, he played 45 minutes, created what, six, seven chances. Yeah, good changes, good chances as well.
First minute, he was come out flying.
I was very impressed with this. Done the job on Jesus. No one's done that this season.
What a player he is, by the way.
Oh, he did play well today.
What a signing.
Very quiet. That's credit to Leeds.
Exactly.
You know what I like for your Leeds, Dan? Sinister.
Yeah, he's not for sale. Hey, you know the saying, you can look, but you cannot touch, my brother.
Beckford with the classic lap dancing rules there. It was a little bit garbled, which made me feel like somebody had just kind of shoved the phone in the middle of a gap there when they were just having a chat in there.
But I thought it was quite nice to hear Beckford because I don't think, out in the wild. I don't think he knew he was necessarily being recorded. So to hear him praising Bamford, quite interesting.
So we're delighted to... played the private Beckford tapes.
it was on YouTube.
If Jermaine's listening to this.
I don't feel bad for it. But yeah, they were saying our centre-backs have kept them quieter than anyone else this season.
We've not spoke about that. Robin Koch was excellent, I thought, as he has been most of the season.
Yeah, really good.
We're going to hear from the Consuelo lot in a minute, aren't we?
We are.
The Manchester City Extra lads, which are always a treat on this show. First, let's do Troops TV, though. Are you upset about this, Michael?
Oh, my God.
You had to find this. So Troops, just for anybody who doesn't know, Troops was on Arsenal Fan TV, and you've described him here as a splitter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he chose to leave or was kicked off or whatever. We've had him on before. He's the one who gets really shouty and starts throwing stuff about and everyone in the room just looks...
Did Arsenal Fan TV HR say maybe...
Horrendously awkward about the whole thing.
We'll let you put your resignation in, but...
Yeah.
That kind of vibe.
I know last week I said Sonny was maybe one of the worst human beings.
Yeah.
About. He's probably got competition from Troops TV.
If you missed last week, by the way, the second half of the show, it was in the second half, wasn't it, Sonny? Mm. Yeah. It was the previous Liverpool fan. It's worth going back. If you missed it because we lost to Palace, but you're listening to this one, do go back and listen to Sonny if you want to feel better about yourself and your own life choices, I will say.
So Troops, this is from his live stream, which is about 3 hours long, but it's basically all...
Did you watch it all?
I skipped to the bits where stuff happened in the game, but it's all like this.
Right, okay.
Get the fuck out of here, blood. Yeah? Get the fuck out of here, mate. Yeah? Get out of here with that shit. Yeah? Get out of here with that shit. Yeah? Get out of here with that shit. You fucking pricks, blood. You fucking pricks. Yeah? Arsenal, yeah?
Fucking hell. Imagine listening to that.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, guys.
He says, yeah.
What was that? Which part of the game was that?
I think that was...
Because the fact that...
During the break.
The fact that we don't know.
He just does that. He just says like three words and then says, yeah, at the end of everything for 3 hours.
Don't like it, yeah?
Bizarre. Yeah?
Great. I can see why Arsenal Fan TV might have moved him on.
He seemed quite sane, did Arsenal Fan TV, I have to say. I suppose it's because they're doing well now. But before, it's always been very unhinged, whereas they were, even about the disallowed goal, they were like, oh no, that should be a goal. It seemed out of character. I don't know if they've made a conscious choice to get away from maybe people like Troops, who just shout and scream and are idiots. But yeah, and also fair play to Arsenal Fan TV, because often when it's a Sunday game, I'm digging around trying to find some of this stuff, like for Palace or whoever. Quite hard to come by stuff. Arsenal Fan TV, straight on there after the game, nicely chopped up into different clips, nicely edited, sound quality's good.
Making Michael's job easier for him.
Thank you very much, Arsenal.
Right, let's do City Extra, Consuelo. They lost to Liverpool. And the reason why we're doing this, they're the most Mancunian lads ever, aren't they?
They are, bless them. And it's because the person who was at fault for the goal that Mo Salah scored was indeed Consuelo, which has become Moscow's little catchphrase.
Here we go.
It's so poor and Alisson goes long. Oh no! It's fucking Cancelo again on Salah! Fucking one! It's fucking hell, Cancelo! God. He's done it again! He did that last time! He always has to do that, bro!
Bro, he done him.
He cannot play at this ground ever again. He does this so many times.
What a ball from Alisson.
Fucking hell!
Literally, someone in the chat literally just said they're going to go long ball, and they have got long ball.
Cancelo does that. He's done that twice last time. Twice. And he's done it again. So poor, man. So poor. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, you've been done, Cancelo, mate. You've been done. You've been done, Cancelo, mate. You've been done.
Oh, that stinks. This result fucking stinks. Pep Guardiola, it's fucking your fault with his stupid tactics, man. Why has he started this team?
This team.
His stupid tactics.
Consuelo. Dear me. You might only lose one game all season. How terrible for you. Here's a question for you then, based on that. You know, like Alisson booted it up to Salah, who beat Consuelo for that goal. We don't really do that, do we? We don't ever try and catch anyone on the break like that anymore.
I've noticed Melier doing it the opposite quite often, actually. We seem to...
We go from 100 to 70.
100 to 70, yeah.
Yeah, you can see sometimes the crowd is a bit like, go on, now
go, yeah.
But he kind of just goes, no, hang on, let's get ourselves...
It's nice that the whole team seems to have got that message, though. I remember there were times last season when he'd have the crowd screaming at him to roll it out. There'd be Rodrigo screaming at him to roll it out, and then there'd be Llorente screaming at him to just slow down. And poor Melia just looked
Llorente was just screaming.
Well, yeah.
Roll it to me. I've got a horrendously difficult diagonal pass I'm going to try to blow.
Which I'll do right at the very, very last millisecond of available time to me. Let's hear from 11 Yanks then.
Yes.
This is the guy who did the song when we beat Chelsea.
Yeah, it was... I can't remember the tune of it now. It was bad. It was bad. But I generally don't mind his watch-alongs, actually, because he's fairly... he seems fairly thoughtful. When you look him up, he's done some coaching and stuff. So I think he seems to understand the game, I thought, anyway. So here he is bemoaning what Rodrigo did and offering it as a solution to our striking problems, which I'll see what you two think.
Rough day for Leeds. Making their own mistakes, giving that one to Arsenal. Oh, my God. Oh, damn it. It's like, I feel like architects of their own destruction right now, Leeds, because they were playing so well, and Rodrigo, for some bizarre reason, decided to cross-field the ball from the right-hand side, gives it away to Arsenal, Odegaard slips in Saka, and now it's 1-0. What the actual fuck? Come on. Architects of their own destruction here. That was really poor from Rodrigo. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Oh, Lord. Yeah, but you can't do a no-look switch, you know, in the defensive third against a team like Arsenal.
He's got me so far, I say, Michael. I'm in full agreement. And there are only 6 seconds left of this clip.
It gets worse.
Honestly, Leeds should look at Josh Sargent in January if they want a realistic striker option.
Really?
I mean, I know his whole account is focused on kind of around the US men's national team, and Josh Sargent is part of that, but fucking hell no.
We don't want screeching, do we?
I looked at him last year, 26 appearances, 2 goals, both of which were against Watford, who were also absolutely...
Yeah, they don't count then, do
terrible,
they?
No. So, just like we don't count Rodrigo's goals against Watford and Norwich last season.
We've taken on board what you said. We're just looking at some other options.
Well, we've seen... I mean, in fairness, he's doing all right in the Championship, but it's a very different league, isn't it? And we've seen him have a season in the Premier League, and fucking hell, I think...
There are levels to this game.
I think we were hugely confused by him last year, was my main thing. I was like, what is he? Like, he's not good in the air, he's not fast, he doesn't have a good touch, he looks completely directionless in front of the goal.
But apart from that,
yes, he's maybe an option. Maybe he's improved.
There you go then.
How old is he? Like 25 or something?
Yeah, 30.
He's probably not improved, has he?
He doesn't look like he started shaving, though, does he? Well, there you go. That wraps up Propaganda for this time. There's Propaganda Extra coming as well for our TSB Plus members. If you do spot anything as well, send it to us and we can include it in the show as well if you spot clips of mad old shit on the internet. There we go. We'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.